The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn
Beck. I don't want to give you something else to panic about, but are your bridges and roads in your town climate change proof? Are they? Seriously. You got to know. President Trump is expected to unveil the $1.5 trillion infrastructure plan that he talked about often on the campaign trail. And for some reason, we all went, yay, I think. The extensive repair list has apparently been prioritized, and the bill has been tallied now. The cracked bridges, the crumbling roads, the rusted railways, and the climate change threat assessment. Wait, the climate change threat assessment? I knew that Obama had forgotten something because he was supposed to take care of all of the other crumbling roads and bridges. Remember when we passed the first $1 trillion stimulus? Now it's $1.5 trillion. The federal government is not going to have to pay the $1.5 trillion for the infrastructure improvements, but according to the New York Times, this is the very least of their concern here. An alarming story over the weekend, nonspecific engineers and researchers say Trump's plan is not taking into account the many parts of the country that are increasingly vulnerable to rising waters and other threats from warming of the planet. Stu, you're a global warming guy. What parts... I mean, I would imagine Miami, because that's, you know, that's what if there is a melting of an ice, then the water would go up around the coastline, which mm-hmm. isn't happening. Where else would they be?
We're all in
about?
Danger, Glenn. No matter where you are, no matter what time it is, you will die from climate change.
Really?
That's the fact.
Okay, this is, I mean, it's kind of sounds just like a bad episode, and this is saying something. A bad version of Westworld with Kevin Costner. Not Westworld, Waterworld. Waterworld.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's basically, that's about 6 months from now. That
really?
Was to tell the story.
Man,
of
science haters in the White House. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. I mean, they could have, you know, budgeted with a $1.5 trillion. Could we get some floaties? Maybe a snorkel or two for the women and children? I mean, the humanity. Please, people. According to the Times story, questioning the risk that America faces from global warming and rolling back climate change regulations is one of the Trump administration's defining regulatory principles. The climate change crowd is beside themselves today with grief that their alarm is not front and center in the government's infrastructure planning. If we could have just wasted even $500 billion on this. They say if we don't consider now how global warming and climate change is going to destroy our bridges, roads, and drown our airports, then it's going to cost our country more money in the future. Well, I guess. I mean, if the water's starting to come for the airport, I mean, I think we'll get on that right away. It doesn't take us that long to build a new airport, does it? Certainly a new strategy in promoting climate change as the fiscally responsible now thing to do. So the left is concerned about how much something is going to cost the government in the future, which is new. The climate changers should not lose too much sleep over this. The way parties and politicians have been switching sides, soon I'm expecting Mitch McConnell to be handing out scuba suits so everyone can get right to the problem. And he'll probably dump that entire $1.5 trillion into climate change research if times and people continue to change as much as they have in the last year.
It's Monday, February 12th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So tonight at 5:30, we have a new program starting. If you watch The Blaze, you might remember The Real News, where we had some really good brains sitting around the table and talking about the news of the day. And that's kind of what this program is. This is the news and why it matters. And sitting around the table, I've asked them to come in this morning is Pat and Stu and Doc Thompson and Sarah Gonzalez, who is kind of the host of this program. Her job, I'm not sure. How are you going to control this room?
You know what?
I think I can answer for Glenn.
I still haven't quite figured that out. It's a little bit of a daunting task to be told you I'm going to have to, I don't know, interrupt my boss and tell him to shut up and be quiet.
So tonight we are going to start, and I don't know, you know, what your questions are going to be for all of us tonight, but I want to start at an unusual place, the Olympics. Anybody watch the Olympics over the weekend?
Yes.
No.
Yes,
some,
I did.
Some of them.
I watched the lights.
You watch what?
Not really the highlights, just parts of lights. And really high, but I guess some call them the highlights.
I was forced, I came home yesterday, and my son was watching women's hockey, which is even less interesting than just hockey to me. I actually said, "What is curling not on?" He said, "No, we already watched the curling." So
curling is the one event I can actually watch, I feel like.
Curling?
Yes, that's actually exciting.
So I've never, now I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. I grew up on the border, and I don't know, do the brooms slow it down or speed it up?
Both. What? They can do either. Depending, I grew up across the border from Canada as well, but over in Ohio and St. B. We used to get curling, you know, from Canadian channels, and yeah, it does both. Can steer it, can stop it, can make it go faster. It's all in the use of the broom, Glenn.
And they're not using brooms now. They're using, like, Swiffers. Have you noticed that? Seriously, I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you.
Are they really?
They used to use brooms. They're like Swiffers now.
Wow. Well, there's been some technological advancements in the game, Glenn.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Let's talk about the way the media is treating Kim Jong-il's sister.
Kim Jong-un? Yes.
Kim Jong-un.
This is unbelievable. The New York Times actually said she without saying a word, she outflanked Mike Pence. How did she outflank him by sitting there smiling? Somebody trained a camera on her. She smiled, didn't say anything, hasn't done anything, but she outflanked Mike Pence. She's terrific.
People were also...
they're in love with her.
They were also talking about the amazing side eye that she gave Mike Pence. Did you see that?
The side eye, how
great it was. She really stuck it to him with that side eye.
And what's interesting is when she gives that side eye to people in her own country, they wind up dead the next day.
Yeah, which they feed them to the dogs.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she feeds them to the dogs. But somehow that's heroic. Because she stuck it to the Trump administration.
I don't understand how the media doesn't connect the dots. She is the minister of propaganda. Mm-hmm. So she's Goebbels.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine saying, yeah, Goebbels gave the side eye to Jesse Owens, huh? Oh, that Goebbels was great. You're on the wrong side, dude. You're on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How is the press running around her? Is this just another case of, I hate the president so much, I will prop up somebody who runs concentration camps?
I think that it's a little bit of both, personally. I think that we're so far removed from what's going on in North Korea that it doesn't even cross our thoughts. But I also think that they're so obsessed with hating the Trump administration that, you know, they can't see straight.
Yeah, I mean, good example of this, you know, Pyongyang put out this statement of like, it was great to see, you know, our southern neighbors, and we look forward to welcoming you, your pretty faces in Pyongyang soon. And that was taken as this like, wow, what a great moment. They're talking about reunification. They're talking about coming together. Wow, they're going to invite them over for tea. No, what they're saying is they're going to destroy South Korea and make it one country. They're not saying they want you to visit. They're not going to put a high-speed rail in.
But wait a minute. They are talking about reunification then, aren't they, Stu?
Yeah. It's my nuking soul. There's a real separation into, you know, they're falling for these very basic tricks of propaganda, which, you know, when the person who you're talking about, Kim Jong-un's wife, sister, is both the minister of propaganda and the minister of agitation, you should probably know that what she's saying and what she's doing has a very specific, you know, goal, and they just seem to be ignoring it.
Was anybody struck by how the cheerleaders were so adored?
Creepy. It's creepy.
Especially when you realize the reason they're cheering like that is because if they don't, they're going to be raped when they get back, and their family will be killed. And many of them probably were. Kim Jong-un takes them for his concubines. They don't know what's going on in North Korea. Of course they're going to all be synchronized.
Well, they ignore it. I think they do know what's going on, and they don't care. They don't care. And it's kind of interesting to me that South Korea is playing along with this.
Not the cheerleaders.
No, the media. The media who's presenting all of this like, hey, this is just happy time now with North Korea. They've completely changed. Look how they've turned around and joined the international community. This is awesome.
I was trying to remember, during the Cold War, did we ever have our press do this?
I know there was Soviets?
I know there were some people that were like, oh, the Soviets are great, but I don't think I ever remember.
I don't think so.
You remember, Doc?
No, in fact, all I could remember seeing the parades where they would show some clips, but it was never like, wow, look at how great they are. It wasn't like that. In fact, we had kind of a propaganda on the other side to fight against that.
I remember in the Olympics, they would always give, the commentators would always give the lecture on, and, you know, so-and-so did skate well, but he was taken from his parents when he was 3. You know what I mean?
And only gets to see steroids and you know, they were constantly, the truth was important at that time.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be now.
By the way, the Russians are still doing, which is why they're Olympic athletes from Russia rather than Russian athletes. You notice that?
Yeah. I mean, they're not using the Russian flag. They're using
Yeah, that was taken from them.
Right.
But big deal. I mean, it's still, everybody knows they're Russian athletes, and so they're competing just like they always would, even though they cheated. Even though they cheated to such an extent that the IOC had to strip them of their flag. That's pretty bad. And yet, almost all of them are there anyway.
Especially seeing how corrupt the IOC is.
Yeah.
You know, when they're saying you're corrupt, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
It's like when there's a college football scandal, though, and then they're like, they've abandoned those wins from 2002. You're like, no, they didn't. We all know they won the games. Like, we're supposed to all look back. It's like when someone says something in court and they say, please dismiss that. Don't disregard that. We know they won the games. We know they were champions that year. You can't convince us otherwise.
So the medal count, we're in fifth place. We used to be the Soviet Union when the Soviet Union had half of the countries competing. We'd still beat them.
Not in the Winter Games. That's not our specialty. That's
well,
our way.
Well, it needs to be.
Yeah.
It needs to be.
We still dominate the Summer Games. And we do okay in the winter, but we're not. That's not our thing.
Well, it's, you know, as I learned from Katie Couric, it's because of all of the canals.
that's just in the Netherlands, Glenn.
Yeah, I know. They've got canals. They can swim on those. They can skate on those. During the summer, it is their number one mode of transportation.
Right,
still
exactly.
Today.
So, yeah, they were talking about the speed skaters being Netherlands being so good in speed skating. And Katie Couric informed everybody that's because it's their primary form of transportation. Because in the winter, the canals freeze over, and then they skate to where they're going.
But they actually don't. Most winters, they don't freeze over.
Right, and that's why they're also so good at swimming, Glenn. Right. They do because they swim to work the rest of the time.
Okay, all right. Good.
Thank you for finally drawing attention to global warming. Warming, by the way.
Glenn Beck.
So tonight at 5:30, after my program on The Blaze, we're going to start a new show, and we invite you to watch tonight. If you're a subscriber, make sure you tune in tonight. If not, join us. The name of the show is The News and Why It Matters, hosted by Sarah Gonzalez, who is here with us, and we're the players, Doc Thompson, Pat Gray, Stu, and myself. And it pretty much, I mean, it starts with the news of the day, which what each of us think.
Yes.
Okay.
What you believe is the top story of the day.
I would let, now this probably will change by 5:30, but what is the top story of the day, Stu?
I think these DACA negotiations starting and the precedent that it sets that you can just sort of pass something without any congressional approval, which was what Obama did. And then later on, everyone just has to accept it and both parties embrace it. It's like you can just do whatever you want. And then later on, we all feel bad for the people involved. So we just do whatever Obama decided.
Which
he
is
wanted.
The second time this has happened, in to my knowledge. The first one was Obamacare.
Sure. Yeah. Obamacare had several elements like that in it, too. It's a problem, and you know, I understand we want to be nice to everyone, and we want to, our feelings are important, I'm sure, but we have to make sure that we're not setting dangerous precedents for the Constitution and the Republic.
Biggest story of the day, Pat.
I agree with Stu on what's actually the biggest, but I think the one people are paying attention to the most is the Rob Porter scandal, and John Kelly's handling of it, and the Trump tweets about it.
What do you think of that?
Well, Donald Trump needs to stop tweeting, for one thing. Needs to take a really strong stand against sexual abuse or physical abuse of women, and kind of hasn't done that so far. And in fact, seemingly did the opposite with the tweet that, you know, and he's right about the fact that we're not, we're jumping to conclusions too quickly. And just because you've been accused means you're guilty. But there's pretty substantial evidence here in this particular case. So I'm not sure I would be so quick to defend Rob Porter right now. And whether or not John Kelly acted quickly enough, he fired him 40 minutes after he got substantiation of it. So, you know, and he's...
Why not 39?
I don't know.
Why not 12?
I don't know.
Because he likes physical abuse of women, obviously.
That's probably why.
He's like, he's almost finished. He'll be another 39 minutes, and then I'll fire him. So,
bizarre.
Sarah?
I would actually say the United States media's treatment fawning all over North Korean leaders.
Why?
Well, because I think that it just shows how dangerous it can be to have a media that, you know, shows importance on the wrong things or doesn't tell the whole story or wants to shape a narrative so much that they, you know, make all of these people, all of these Americans don't even realize what they're cheering for. They're doing it because, you know, the media that they're watching or reading is doing that as well. And so it shows how dangerous that can be when they take it to, you know, a certain extent.
Doc?
Yeah, I'm with her. Same thing. Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. It is amazing that in just days, all of a sudden they're like, North Korea, it's swell, it's great. And look at them, they're famous. You have no idea what's going on. Even during World War II, we didn't really have any idea of what was going on in the concentration camps.
But we do now.
We do now. I mean, we have some now. What we know is horrible, and it's probably even worse. That our media could be sucked in so quickly, and we know how influential they are, especially with younger generations. If we can't figure out how wrong that is from the very people who claim to be the leaders when it comes to human rights, leaders when it comes to the treatment of women and gays, and you're falling for this? Unbelievable.
So that was because I think that is the top story as well. So I agree with you and Sarah, Doc. But
good, we got it right.
however, my question is, and I would like to hear everybody's response to this, is this because they hate Donald Trump, or is this because they don't mind communism? They've you know, played footsie with communists and communism from the very beginning.
The answer is yes. It's both.
Yeah.
They hate Trump, and they don't mind communism. And neither do our kids, for that matter. Because they haven't seen communism at its worst in their lifetime.
And for many, their stated goals of human rights and all this is nonsense. We know that. I mean, Woodrow Wilson was a progressive. How was he when it came to minorities? You know what I mean?
It was horrible.
Right. So their stated goals are not legit. Ultimately, it comes down to their control and for their own power, their own regime, whoever they are. And hypocrisy is the only constant. It doesn't matter. They just run to whatever's working for them.
Tonight, 5:30, the news and why it matters. A roundtable you don't want to miss, only on theblaze.com/TV. Make sure you join us tonight, 5:30.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So tonight, starting at 5:30, a new show on the Blaze, and it is called The News and Why It Matters. It's a roundtable, and we've kind of asked everybody to come in and do the roundtable on the radio and give, you know, kind of a sneak preview a little bit. Stu is here, Pat is here, Doc Thompson is here, and Sarah Gonzalez, who is the moderator on that. She's going to be moderating, but, you know, it's my show, Sarah, so I'm going to moderate a little bit today. Did you guys read the 42-year-old guy who married the 20-year-old biological daughter? They got married, having children, and now they're both facing 10 years in prison.
It's Valentine's Day week. It's a good time for it.
Hey, you can't legislate love. All right, these are two consenting adults. You can't legislate love. Why are they being charged with anything? Why is that a problem? Why is
they
it a
face
crime?
Incest charges.
Well, whose business is it?
Yeah, whose morality?
But theirs.
In what construct?
Right. That's right. That's what,
if you say that, you sound smart.
Is that not the logical step from everything we hear?
Yes, it is.
Just using the logic, it's the same thing.
There are pictures of them that they look like they're positively in love. It's gross.
Who
right?
are you to say it's gross?
Ah, thank you.
Who are you?
All I'm hearing is hate.
I will tell you, Pat, that is what went through my mind. I thought, this is obscene.
It has to be the next logical step.
Who are you to say?
Right. Well, that's right. Same with polygamy. For some reason, why haven't we broken down the barrier of polygamy and incest among consenting adults where, you know, maybe they don't want to have kids? They just want to express their love to one another.
Well, he started sleeping with her when she was 16.
That was going to be my question. Yeah. Was now we're that. That is not
what's
consenting
the
adults.
Legal age?
16.
Probably 16.
Okay.
16.
Oh, right, right. And we're all just going to be like, oh, well, he's 16 then. Certainly at 15 and a half, he's uninterested
right.
completely in this.
I'm
story.
Going by the progressive mindset, though. Yeah. Okay, that should be fine, right? Who am I to say their love is inappropriate?
I mean, that's because she got arrested too, right? This is a perplexing part of the story.
Did she really?
She is also, now, I guess maybe technically with the statute, she's guilty because she's, you know, involved.
Well, they're
in
both committing incest.
However, right, like, do we not look at her as the victim here? I mean, she may be 20 years old. Does anyone on earth believe that this started on the 16th birthday? He's like, you know what? She looks pretty good today.
Yes.
That's not the way that works.
Mom says it did. Because mom said when her and her husband started to get a divorce, mom still lived at home and so did dad. And so he just slept on the floor of his daughter's room at 16.
And they just accidentally fell in love there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you know. Mm.
Who are we to say?
Who are we to judge?
I think we are.
Thinking human beings. Right. Yeah. That's who we are.
I don't know. Okay.
But I don't see how you don't go that direction with it, though. Why is the left not jumping all over that? Why is that not an okay love to them? I don't understand it.
Because there's no special interest group representing them.
There just needs to be. They just need a better marketing firm.
That is true.
Incestual people just need to hire a firm.
Yeah.
You need a better.
So do polygamists. You need to find a firm.
Get
and
better
market
representation.
It.
Well, yeah. Polygamist. What was the term they were using for polygamists? Because incest, just you're never going to get any support for that. It just sounds really bad.
Polyamorous.
Yeah. Polyamorous. Yeah. And there was another one I thought they had too.
Familial.
Familial love.
Oh. Familial.
Yeah. And it sounds familiar, so you're going to like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Huh.
Let me give you this one. This one started out okay for me. Logan Morris was in a Georgia supermarket checkout line with his 2-year-old son Tuesday night when the boy asked repeatedly for candy. I told him no. It's too late, bud. Then his son started to throw a tantrum. How many times has this happened to you? But that apparently
never
mattered.
My children don't act this way in public.
That apparently didn't matter to the 62-year-old man who was standing behind Morris and his boy at the Kroger.
By the way, I think this is how the last story started, too. Something about candy in the store. But
he grabbed my son's left hand and smacked it and turned him around and swatted him on the rear end.
Oh, wow.
Dad said, I was just trying to stay calm. The 62-year-old man said, that's just the way we do it with kids.
Oh,
no.
You would have to get me off the ceiling. Oh, I would have gone to jail that night. I would have hit that guy, I think. Oh, do not touch my kid.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's where the story, because I would not let anybody hit my kid, but if somebody said, hey, I'm with dad, knock it off.
Absolutely.
I'd be okay with that. Most people wouldn't. Let me throw in a couple of other things. He said, that's just the way we do it in Mexico.
Oh, boy.
The father said, well, buddy, we're not in Mexico.
Oh, how dare he.
And also he said that the guy's eyes were bloodshot with a strong odor of alcoholic beverages.
Okay. That's how we do it in Mexico.
Yeah, that's also how they do it.
And he said, that's how we do it in Mexico, more like this. This is the way we do it in Mexico. here's the problem. He faces multiple charges, including simple battery, child cruelty, disorderly conduct, obstructing officers, and violating probation. He has been booked into jail over 50 times in the past decade.
Just the 50, though?
Just the 50.
Okay.
Just the 50.
All right.
Nowhere in the story does it say if he's here illegally or illegally.
I feel good that I would not be going to jail, that I would, because my wife would be there first.
Yeah.
She would be all over him. I mean, just beating the snot out of him.
Would you go to jail, though, if someone essentially assaulted your child?
Yes, absolutely.
You'd still go to jail.
Yeah, if my wife wasn't there, I would hit the guy.
No, what I'm saying, though, would you be charged? I mean, if some random stranger starts hitting your kid, I think you have a right to defend yourself.
Especially if he's drunk.
Yeah.
I think how far did you go? If you just stepped in and hit him as a stop it, probably. Right, but when I continued to beat him,
yeah, that would go to jail.
Yeah, that might be bad.
Hang on just a second. I think we're all looking at this like it's the cute 1980s or 90s. The real question is, if you did that to your son, would you go to jail?
Yeah.
If you spanked him in public?
Yeah.
These days.
Not in Texas, but.
You'd still probably get CPS called on you if they could somehow find out who you were.
Maybe in California. So. You might be. Might be in jail.
Well, it's a little different when the video goes viral that says Pat Gray, who works for Glenn Beck, .. That's where the trouble happens.
Then you're. Yeah.
I'm just surprised that no one's brought it, because I think he made a smart move by bringing up Mexico, because I think then you can defend it on cultural grounds and you can't criticize someone else's culture.
Right. That's right.
So he might be able to get away with this.
You can't criticize it and you can't appropriate it.
Right.
So
while we're here, did you guys see the story of the guy who lived in the United States for 40 years? He's from Jordan. He has a wife who's a U.S. citizen, 4 daughters who are also U.S. citizens. He owns several businesses in his adopted hometown of Youngstown, Ohio. A week ago, he was deported back to the Middle East. He's lived here for 40 years. In the last 20 years, he's been in a legal battle with the United States. He even had an Ohio congressman put his name in a bill that kept him from being deported for a short period of time. But now that is over and the Trump administration called and said, you know, your green card has expired. We said no to a permanent residence in 1990 and then around 2000. And then we said you had to be deported in 2010. It's now 2018. You're going. Yeah, in 2018, 18. You're now going. And the story from CNN is how this guy was a pillar of the community, and this is wrong for him to be deported back to a country he hardly even knows.
Oh God, that's being used like crazy now because they keep saying, I mean, people that, you know, they're using this for anyone who's involved in the DACA program, which you know, you could be 15 years old and came when you were 10 or 11 and qualify for DACA. In fact, the Lindsey Graham bill actually makes it 18. So, and it's only 4 years. So you could come here at four. If you came here at 14 and you were here for 4 years,
you hardly even know
your former country.
You probably don't even speak the language.
Right? Like, how ridiculous is this? It's obviously they're trying to get, it's typical is what they do.
You may not have even heard of Mexico.
Right, exactly. It's what they do with every one of these topics. You know, when you're talking about life. The entire debate is, well, what about a woman who was raped with incest and her life is in danger? And that's where you wind up fighting the battle on whether you should be aborting children. And it's like this happens every single time. And I don't know why, you know, why we fall for it or why we allow it to happen. But it's really frustrating. The idea that someone who came over here, you know, after in almost to high school. Their entire childhood was in another country. They came here on a vacation for 4 years. And now all of a sudden we're supposed to believe that they can't even recognize their former nation.
And we're supposed to accept the fact that because they've been breaking the law for 40 years, that's better than 1 year. Wait a minute. That's 39 times as bad. What are you talking about?
It's the only crime I can think of where you get credit for doing it longer.
We can't care
because they've been embezzling from the company for 3 decades. We can't stop that lifestyle now.
And isn't it really kind of his problem, this guy that Glenn's talking about, that he knew that he was here illegally and kept investing in all of these businesses knowing that there was a chance that he could eventually be returned to his home country?
Whose fault is that?
But think how bad he had it in his home country, that Youngstown, Ohio seems so good. I love Youngstown. I grew up in Beulah, right up the road. It's cool.
All right. Doc is the only one who can make that joke.
Last thing. Do you think the Democrats are overplaying their hand? Listen to this from Bill Murray. He spoke these words on CNBC.
How can Kristen Wiig make everyone laugh? She's not thinking about being political. She's thinking about what resonates and what is common to all of us. Yeah. I think that that's harder and harder to do because people are trying to come, you know, trying to win their point of view as opposed to saying, what if I spoke to everyone? And my friend, who's a great comedy writer, Jim Downey, he's accused of being a right-wing writer, a comedy writer, if there is such a thing, sort of. And he says, no, I just think the way that the Democrats handle things is poor, where they try to pick out little pieces of a population that, well, we represent the Hispanics, we represent the LGBT or something. And they're not speaking to everyone at once. And it's almost demeaning to say, I'm choosing you because you're a splinter group or you're a certain minority group. That there's almost a resentment that somehow you're separated again by a politician, you know, that you're my people, I'm in control of you, and I represent you. Instead of thinking that each citizen has a right to be respected as a citizen first, someone under the laws of the country.
What do you think of that? I mean, he sounds like Martin Luther King in many ways.
Yeah, he sounds a little too conservative for Hollywood.
Yeah.
Many, many ways.
Does anybody know is
and
Bill
I've
Murray?
Noticed, I don't know. He's said a lot of things that led me to believe that he's not like everybody else.
Well, surely he would have been blacklisted by now if that were the case.
He's too big.
Yeah, he speaks common sense. I think is really all that's protecting. But
he usually stays out of stuff.
Yeah,
he doesn't overtly say, "Hey, I love Trump. Leave him alone." He doesn't do that.
No,
he says things like this.
I think too. He's one of those guys. I don't know how much money Bill Murray has. Obviously, probably a lot. I mean, he's had a lot of big hits, but he's got that FU credibility.
Like he does.
I don't know if he has the FU money, but he has the FU credibility. He just, it doesn't matter.
Well,
you
that was apparent just by the pants that he was wearing.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
The fact that his hair hadn't seen a comb in about a week.
Yeah, like a homeless person.
He does not care. You see the stories about how he gets booked for gigs. Like he has a voicemail set up on a phone he doesn't answer.
Yeah.
And you have to leave a message for him and he may call you back. Sometimes he just shows up on the first day of the shoot without even responding.
His net worth is, according to this, and we all know this is not necessarily accurate, but $140 million. So that's a few kind of money.
Yeah, I guess.
If he does have anywhere near $100 million or $140, whatever it is, that's a few kind of money.
$20 million.
Like, yeah, I don't care.
$20 million, if you invest it and don't spend it, you can remain for the rest of your life.
That's different, though. That's a different amount of money. The amount of money that you can survive for the rest of your life is not what I would consider FU money. Mm-hmm. FU money is I have so much money, I don't care about anything. In fact, you know, I can never work again and I will be able to live the lifestyle that I want for the rest of my life.
But isn't FU money really, shouldn't it actually be like $10? It's just not, there's not a price. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that.
And I don't think that's what I mean. I don't put it with Bill Murray as a money issue. I just think he's just built this persona that everyone loves the guy, and it doesn't seem like there'd be anything that could tear him down. Now, I say this as a guy who would have said the same thing about a decade ago about Bill Cosby. So, I mean, I guess there is always something that can bring you down. When you start drugging women constantly, that can probably bring you down and probably should.
Have we gotten that picky as a society?
We have. Okay. Yeah, I know.
Discriminatory.
And you guys, I didn't get a chance to get to the story about the glass ceiling for dogs.
No.
I talked about it in the first hour, and you really all, everybody needs to see it. There's a glass ceiling for dogs now. At the dog shows, it's unfair because the girl dogs, they have to go home and get pregnant, so they can't win as much as the male dogs. Anyway, that's tonight, 5:30. You don't want to miss it. Only on the Blaze TV. Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It is 1-800-Flowers, 1-800-Flowers.com. You want a really good gift? Don't put this off. Come on, man. When is Valentine's Day? Tomorrow? Next day?
Wednesday.
You got to get them right now. You can get a great deal with all of their flowers for $29.99. 1-800-Flowers.com. Go there now.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
You can't start a diet on the weekend. It's impossible. That's why Monday is the perfect day. to start a diet, because you're coming off of the weekend where maybe you had a little bit of too much to eat, a little bit too much to drink, and you need to take a positive step. That's Riduzone. Let me get you started on Riduzone right now. Riduzone is what I take. I love it. It's been helping me lose weight, and it is it's a really cool story. It's a local Texas company, and they went through and they went through a bunch of studies and found that there's some stuff in olive oil that actually helps you speed up your metabolism and control your appetite. I don't know how it works. I can just tell you that it does. One of our Blaze reporters, Sarah Gonzalez, lost over 100 pounds on her own, and now she takes Riduzone to control her cravings. She says it's so much easier to control her appetite, and she's not thinking about food all the time. Try Riduzone. Give it a shot. You're going to save 30% off right now with the offer code STU. It's Riduzone.com, R-I-D-U-Z-O-N-E.com. That's Riduzone.com, offer code STU for 30% off. Go there now, Riduzone.com.
Glenn Beck.
All right. If you want to get a hold of us, Sarah's taking questions from the audience for us every night. This is for the 5:30 show on the Blaze TV. You can reach Pat Gray at Pat Gray at Pat Unleashed. Doc Thompson at the Doc at Doc Thompson Show. Not the.
I like how he's Glenn is inserting. He's improving the Twitter names and inserting extra letters and characters in it. No, at Pat Unleashed, at Doc Thompson Show, at Sarah Gonzalez TX, Texas. In case you don't know that, and I'm at World of Stew. You know,
and I don't know where I'm at.
You're at Glenn Beck. So go to the, but the point here is more the hashtag. It doesn't matter where you're tweeting or who you're tweeting to. Just use this stupid hashtag.
Yes,
what is it?
Use the hashtag TheBlazeY.
The W-H-Y.
Oh.
TheBlaze W-H-Y. Ask questions every day. You're going to be answering them.
Yes.
Yep. Answer them. See you tonight, 5 o'clock, and then new show at 5:30. Don't want to miss either.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.